Thank you so much. Hi, I'm Laura. I'm a grateful recovering overeater. I'm a proud member of Overeaters Anonymous. Yeah, I'm chuckling just because my husband walked in here to get his computer because he's actually leading a meeting or chairing a meeting at 6 o'clock, and service work is so important. But I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I came into OA or Overeaters Anonymous in July of 2020. And I currently have a little over 15 months with no sugar, no artificial sweeteners, and little to no wheat. And I've been sober a little over 6 years. When I came in, I tried to do the no sugar, no grains, the 3 meals a day. And I worked with a nutritionist, and we move some carbs back in, so I do other grains, but that's not how I define my abstinence. I know in another meeting I go to, they always do this qualification. So I do have a sponsor. I sponsor women. I do outreach. I do service work. I usually have one position a week that I commit to in this program. Also, I've probably lost 30 to 35 pounds. I would like to lose another 20, but I don't run my program by the scale. But I do need to take a look at that, and probably talk to the nutritionist again. And I think today for me it's more self-care and exercise, really, than it's what I'm eating. I do have some body dysmorphia. I didn't even know what that word was, because I had buried my feelings so deep. I didn't understand dysmorphia. And when one of my kids said she had it, I'm like, well, what is that? And then so I got a definition of it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I get that, you know. So also been working on body acceptance, and about a month ago, I came up with some great idea in my head. It's not the best place to be, apparently, but I thought, well, I'm never gonna like my body, so I'm just gonna have to accept it the way it is. And it almost put me in a spiral, because it was a no hope outlook, that I wouldn't get to a place where I could love myself and my body. And so I've had to kind of work myself out of that and realize that one day, I'll have a loving acceptance, not a bitter acceptance, if you will. So I can appreciate where I am today and how I got here. I love the steps. I guess, a big book thumper, if you will. I don't have all the page numbers or anything memorized, but I'll get to the steps in a minute. So I send my food every day. Every morning I send what I think I'm going to eat, that, I pretty much plan out my meals for the day, and I send them to my sponsor. If I'm traveling or I just don't know, so if I just don't know, I'll put TBD, like we don't know what we're doing for dinner. Like sometimes I just don't know at 4 o'clock in the morning what I'm going to have at dinner. Most of the times I do, though. If I don't know, I'll put TBD, and either later that day I'll send my sponsor the notes, or I'll do a correction in the morning. We speak. I call my sponsor every day. It's very rare we don't speak. But she has a pretty hard, fast rule that we need to speak every day. And I'm not to vent on the email that I send my food, or if we're texting, it has to be a live conversation. While it's been kind of tough for me to get there, I'm getting better at opening up on a conversation. That's been difficult for me. I've always been very self-reliant, and admitting to someone that I needed help was very, very hard. And so it's definitely a work in progress. I go to meetings often as I can. I can't always make them during the week because of work, but I typically will do a Saturday and Sunday morning. Now that I know there's, and I was doing this one on the way to work, But I switched my hours just a little bit. So I think I'm usually in the shower when this meeting happens now. But there's a 3 o'clock 30-minute one. There's now I recently found out about a 5 p.m. one that's every day. So there's a lot more out there. So there's really no excuse not to go every day other than a busy schedule. I read the meditations every morning. I may change that up because I'm thinking I'm going to start exercising before work rather than after work, to be sure that I do that. Because for me, and I don't exercise for the weight. I exercise for stress, and just energy release. I when I was a child, I had a lot of anger issues. And they still, and it still resides. There still must be an angry little child inside of me because I really have to exercise and get that energy out, or I start to just, I can feel it. I can feel it that I need to exercise. And I don't know, it's just some people don't like to exercise. I kind of have to just to get that stress out. So back to the steps. We admitted we are powerless over compulsive eating. I was on my knees when I came in here, and that was really, really easy to admit. I tried so many different diets, exercise programs. I was doing, the unmanageability was the doctor's appointments, the clothing issues, never wanting to go buy clothes because it was so painful to go clothes shopping. I can handle clothes shopping today. It's still not a favorite thing to do, but I certainly don't have the agony that I had with it before. Used to have a lot of headaches and stomach aches. I think some of that was due to eating the wheat because I'm allergic to wheat. But the step one is something that I have to do every day. I have to do all the steps every day, but step one is, if it's so many hours before the next meal and I'm feeling whatever, that I have to remember to do this, to admit to myself that I'm powerless over this and just to push the clock in my head. Step two, the came to believe, I had to ask for help. And as I said earlier, the self-reliance for me, it wasn't my way, Laura's way wasn't working anymore. So I really had to, just try to get some sort of sanity back. Step two was very helpful. Now, step three for me was really is, the made a decision was really the let go step. That to admit that I was no longer in charge, and what a freedom that is when I get up and I have to face my day. I'm like, well, I'm not in charge here. I'm just along for the ride, and that has pulled me out and put me in a good mood for so many things. And I'll tell you, if I have a meeting or a difficult conversation with a friend or whatever, I get on my knees, I do the third step prayer. This, I tell you, this for me, this really helps with anxiety. That I've got to go to a room that a bunch of people are much higher up on the ladder than me. And I might be feeling less than because that happens a lot. That if I get on my knees and I do the third step prayer, or if I just do the third step prayer in the car, in the ladies' room, at my desk, staring at the computer. I mean, it's just the Serenity Prayer also is a quick one, or the change them, or bless them, change me, change them, bless me. Sorry, I'll have to remember that one, and depending on who it is, but no, but the no longer being in charge is a lot of freedom for me. Step four and five, these steps took a lot longer for me, well, they're than I would have liked. And once I wrote it down, then it was, I just had to talk to my sponsor. The fear inventory is mind-boggling. When I put pen to paper, and I'm this is one somebody read the tools of the program. And I was just going through them, like, writing is the one thing I do not like to do. Like all the other tools I'm good with, which probably should mean that I should write more, but I write what my sponsor asked me to write, and I do what I need to do. But you know, the fear one really got me. You know, the resentment part, writing down resentments was good, and that I saw my part and I had to admit my part. But then I knew that all I had to change was me, and that's all I have to be responsible for is me. And that was a good thing for me to be able to let go of others. You know, the steps work, and they're in the order for a reason. And you know, it's almost like the lights are dimmed, and the lights just start getting better, brighter, and it's like aha, aha, right? You know, some of the stuff is not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. But what I learned in step four and step five is, you know, as going through it, that you know, that people did things for me, not to me. It's, you know, this is a disease of perception. So if I look at it in a healthier way, and definitely guided by my sponsor, and then I learned from listening in the rooms, you know, that really a lot of the resentments, I was a willing victim, you know, and having to admit that to myself, that, you know, my husband didn't do these things to me. He did them for me, right? So, you know, and that the resentments were really formed out of my expectations for others. So, you know, it's just
gentle reminder, 10 minutes.
Okay. Thanks, Sandy. I'm trying to time myself too, but my phone keeps zeroing out. But when I went through these expectations and resentments, and I learned something, you know, day to day, if I had zero expectations for other people, I would less likely have any resentments. So going through this process and going, okay, I'm not going to have any expectations. And, you know, in a way, I learned to practice unconditional love. And if this is the only thing the program gave me, because the program has so many gifts, if this was the only thing it gave me, I would be good. But I learned to love my children unconditionally, right? And that one's easy though, right? Because your children are your children, right? But learning to love my husband unconditionally was a lot of work, and it's not every day that I can love him unconditionally. But what unconditionally love for me has been, then I can love someone for who they are and appreciate who they are, right? So when I get to this point that I can love unconditionally, then I can actually feel other people's love for me, and I can start working on that spiritual hole, you know, that little girl that didn't get the love that she thought she needed as a child. And I have a lot of, I was also an adult child of alcoholics. So I have a lot of issues there that I've had to unwrap, you know, and take a look at. And it's been embarrassing to do that. You know, I'm 61 years old, and I've had to look at these over the, I guess, the last 3 years, really. You know, but working this program and working on the ACA issues, outside issues for here, but having it all kind of come together in this step four and five, and you know, lowering my expectations, not having as many resentments, and learning to love other people. Like, I mean, I love everyone in this room, in the Zoom rooms, right? And if I go into a 12-step room, you know, I love everyone there no matter what, you know, it is such a gift, and it fills that spiritual hole. And I no longer have, you know, on a day-to-day basis, I no longer have that self-destructive characteristic that was so strong in me, that and it was so strong in me, I thought it was even funny, You know, we used to play the game of irresponsibility when we were in our teens and 20s. You know, we used to laugh at the stupid stuff we did. And I'm not that person today. And it's amazing to me. You know, but when we go through step four and five, what my sponsor did is every time I would write someone's name, I would do the sick man's prayer, and I would, you know, go through those things, and it was so releasing. You know, and I've learned for the parents that they weren't able to love me the way that I needed to be loved. And that's something freeing. It's, you know, that I had a need that they weren't going to meet, and I can fix that today, right? I have the tools to fix that. So where am I today with that, with the steps? I'm on step eight. I'm sitting on the list. I just added my children. I don't know why I didn't have my children on the list. And you know, I didn't have any resentments towards them. But I thought somewhere, they're 23 and 18, but I thought somewhere along the line I probably did some harm. And so my sponsor will guide me on that. So this program has allowed me kind of try to summarize this up, you know, to be a better wife, a better mother. You know, I have such a strong relationship with my children. I'm a better worker. You know, and also, you know, I was at the bank yesterday working at an issue. I've had to stop there like six times, and we're trying to resolve an issue, and we were so close. So close. And when they told me they weren't able to fi figure out the issue and I was going to have to come back the next day, I just laughed. I just like, man, you were so close, so close. And they were like, wow, you're so nice about it. But it was like I couldn't even blow up about it. And several times when I'd gone to the bank, I pushed the door open like, they're not going to get me this time. Not going to get me. This is the last time I'm coming here. But I just laughed, and I'll go to the bank today, and maybe today they'll resolve it. I don't know. I don't know. So I don't know. You know, at work I deal with a lot of egos. I'm sure I have a big ego. You know, but now I deal with it in a professional manner. You know, in a nice and warm way, not a professional, you know, curt and cold way. But I, you know, I'm more connected with people. And that just really, this program has just given me so many gifts, and it really is progress and perfection. You know, it's nice to be asked to share, and I appreciate Jana for asking me. And I hope that, you know, I should have talked more about higher power, because I really, and maybe I did somewhere in the letting go. Because the higher power, you know, it speaks to me through the rooms and meditation and whatnot. But you know, when other people fail us, our higher power is always there, or it's just always there anyways. And it's just, you know, there's a song, oh God, I can't remember. It's something like Troubled Waters. There, you know, that I'll listen to music and I'll just think that my higher power is holding me, and that just really helps me during the times of sadness. But I'm going to stop so I can listen to others. Thanks
Jennifer,
so much. And everyone have a great abstinent day. Thank you.